Now we're back here to perilous times. You see the church kind of on the edge. It might fall, but it won't, I tell you. But sometimes it does look like, doesn't it? So we have been going through what is the church up against? Now we saw we were up against wholesome thinking. We are not thinking clear anymore. Up against busyness, up against fear, or up against, the tradition, up against the spirit of religion. And we talked about what that really means. How in the world have we become more religious than relationship with the Lord? What in the world, what have we done? Or are we any different from the times of the past? Well, you and I know that the Lord was one of the biggest conflicts that Jesus had was with the religious people. The ones that said, we are the good ones. They are the bad, but we come to church, we do all the things, we give, we wash our hands before we eat, and we do so and so many steps on the Sabbath, and we do all these good things, and because of that, you know, God, we are the ones. And Jesus looks at them, man, you thought you were doing a good thing, but you have lost the heart. The heart is no longer present. So we defined the spirit of religion as a group of evil spirits which inspire loyalty to religious concepts and practices in such a way as to oppose and possibly to counterfeit the true work of the Holy Spirit. Or a religious spirit is a type of demonic spirit that influences a person or a group of people to replace a genuine relationship with God with works and traditions. When people operate out of religious spirit, they attempt basically to earn their own salvation through works. Now, the question is, what does that do to you? Think about it. And I didn't mention that lesson, but I just want to touch base a little bit on that part. If you think that you can earn your own salvation by doing great things. Well, let me tell you this. Have you noticed that you fail so many times? Have you noticed that by trying to do the best you can in your own strength, I want to be good, because if not, I might miss heaven. When you are in the effort to try to do or try to earn salvation on your own, and at the same time you know that you're weak, that you are weak, and that you fail lots of times, it causes fear. It causes doubt. It causes uncertainty. Will I make it to heaven? I might not make it because I haven't really not been that good. And then you start fear, oh my goodness, so what now? See, I am not a very good person. But then you try even harder, and then that still doesn't, because the reality is, it is not on you. Salvation was produced, made, fulfilled, completed by Jesus Christ alone, through grace. The only thing that we need to do, really, is to look inside our hearts and say, Lord, you know, I can't do it. Even if I do 10 good things a week, I cannot produce my own salvation. So what you and I have to do simply is, first of all, relax. Now, that does not permit you to sin. Listen to this. It's not for you to, okay, now you're free to sin. No! Because if you love the Lord, you don't want to sin. If you love the Lord, you want to please Him. You want to walk with Him. You want to be close to Him. You want to have a relationship with Him, fellowship with Him. And when that happens, all of a sudden, if you fail, which by then it should be a mere accident. It is not a steady thing that you do a sinning. Well, because there are certain sins that you like to do, you're going to do these because this is what you like. You're offending the Lord and you're being a hypocrite. Because you can't put a nice face on Sunday morning, but then during the week you do all whatever stuff. You are living a religious life. And that's not what the Lord is asking at all. That's not what He wants. Or it is true, or it is with you, or it isn't. Or you love the Lord, or you don't. So for all of us, let's not try to inherit our own or produce our own salvation. Let the Lord do that. He did that. And let's just care for our heart. Which leads me to the next point here today. And it has to do, there's one item here about the religion I didn't mention last time. Religion can put new clothes on the man, but Christ puts a new man in the clothes. Think about that. It is not what you do. It's not the outside shell that you put on. You allow the Lord Jesus to put new person in whatever shell you are in. So we should not do emphasis on ritual or in special rules or regulations. We should make great emphasis on our own heart or check our heart. Otherwise it becomes hypocrisy and all kinds of things. Despising people. Placing more emphasis on their traditions than on the plain teachings, commandments, and declarations of the Scripture. We become a little bit more, well, we always did it this way, and this is the way we always have done it, and this is the best way to do it. And all of a sudden, we forget a little bit what the Bible says. So that's why we have to look into our hearts. And it has to do, and I do believe, by the fact, just not just for those who are watching or listening online, but also for those who are here, for the fact that you are listening or are here today tells me that there is, that you want a relationship with the Lord in some level. It is not just, you have not just come because you want to see your friends. That's good. We talked about it last Sunday. But you might run into a process or by not really caring for the state of your heart is, into a lukewarm faith. And we are up against a lukewarm faith. In Revelation, chapter 3, verses 14 to 22, we have the church of Laodicea. And it says from verse 14, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. This is the introduction of Jesus Christ, by the way. He is the word here. These are the words of the Amen, the beginning and the end. The faithful and the true witness and the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. And another translation says, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now Jesus is not measuring words here, is he? He's getting pretty serious here. He said, "You know what, guys? If your heart is half and half, I don't want you. Stay where you are. If that's what you prefer, if you like the world thing, go. But don't come and put up a nice cast and be a good Christian churchgoer. I don't want you if you are not serious with me." Basically, he's saying it is not okay to be lukewarm. It's basically, is a time in the Bible, first ever, that God gets sick. Because sick people are the ones that vomit. And he is kind of, you know, this is not good. I'm about to... Because I cannot stand. If you're half with me, only half, 50% or 70 or whatever, not good for me. I am about to vomit. It's terrible. Why would Jesus say such harsh words? Why didn't he say, you know, I will discipline you a little bit so that you can come back? That's not what he says. He's assuming that a group that have become lukewarm is not really worth putting much effort anymore because they have made their choice. It's never, you know, a lukewarm Christian is a type of Christian that is really, has become into a state where God really doesn't want us to be. We have become satisfied. We have become, okay, you know, this is, I have enough. I mean, how much can you get from the word yet that is makes you even more hungry? I know, that's, you know, and we have been, me and Sam and Jen, we were talking about it the other day, about the time and the service. We only last so and so much. By 12 o'clock, you know, we got to get out of here because it's time. And I want to understand, you know, there's all kinds of different things going on. But we can't handle much more. You know, back in the day, or in Africa, or even in some places in the communist countries, they can worship about 3-4 hours, and they want more. You have to kick them home. They don't want to go home. They just want to stay, continue. So how much hunger do we have for the Lord? If we are satisfied, that means we are just about, yeah, I take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I'm good. You know, that's good enough. That's the dosage that I need for myself, and that's all I want. Maybe we have stopped to reach out for more from God. It was a time in Hague when I was praying, Lord, don't let me be the same today. Because tomorrow, what I was yesterday. Let me be more tomorrow what I was today. I want to grow more. I want to learn more. I want to be more closer to the Lord than I was yesterday. By the end of this year, I want to be this level. Have you noticed a growth in your faith in the last, let's say, 2 decades? It's a long time, like 20 years, let's say. In 20 years, where you were spiritually, where you are today. Is it this or is it even this? Have you gone down or have you gone up? Or have you kind of just remained about the same? Sometimes we have lost the hunger. And it's a symptom of lukewarmness. Because did you know that from the Lord there's always more to have, and there's always more to get, and there's always more to discover, and there's always more to experience? Because His power, His greatness, His majesty is never ending. I love it. There's so much to be discovered about the Lord. But maybe we are satisfied. Maybe we have stopped reaching out. And we are talking about, like, say, the Canadian or the American church, or even in Europe, where at one point in the decades ago, we had 20, 30% of Christians that has gone down to 2%, 3%. And those who are there, they're trying to make it to the next week. And I'm really putting a terrible picture of the church. But But I'm glad you are here, which makes me get, you know, excited, because I hope you have not just come for, you know, to see your friends or to fulfill the religious duty, but you have come here because, yes, I want to learn more. I want to be part of it. I want to be part of what the Lord is doing. Yesterday we were out there in Unionville. You know Unionville's right there in Markham? And we had a great time praying with people, and people were walking by, and they were, you know, our team was playing, and the other groups were playing, and people were listening and looking, what are these crazy Christians are doing here? And once in a while, we had a prayer tent. People could come there, and me and Mats, we were praying for people. All of a sudden, and they were passing by, no, you want a prayer? Come on, it's free today, I told them. And they were coming in. They were coming in. Yeah, you can pray. You wouldn't charge a thing for the prayer. It's completely free. Praise the Lord. We even had water for them. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 and 3 says this. This is for the church of Sardis. Now these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits. The seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Ay. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. If there is one fear I have, Lord, I don't want to miss when you come. I want him, you know, my dad, once he was in the process of building a church back in southern Brazil, in a city close by from where our farm is there. And so he was really engaged. He was basically the chief executive of the construction, and really was completely involved. And one of his friend's farmers came to him and asked him, you know, why are you building this huge church here? What is it for? Well, we want to have a place where people can come and gather and praise the Lord and worship. And he said something else. He said, you know, and I, when the Lord comes, I want him finding me at work, not sleeping. I want to be engaged. I want to be part of whatever the Lord is doing. And when he comes, he will find me working and not doing something else. And as he was telling him, I said, man, you know, that is how I want to be. I want to be active. I don't want to be sleeping. I don't want to be, there are those that believe the Lord is not coming. There are those who believe, no, he's not coming now. It's, you know, has been over 2,000 years, hasn't come. So why? What makes you think he's going to come now? Well, he will come. And I want to be ready. Now, did you notice, too, that the church of Laodicea is the only of the seven churches that God had nothing good to say about? All other churches have also good things said to them. Now, here we have the church of Ephesus. The commendation. I'm just going to read the list of the commendation. It says, deeds, hard work, perseverance, does not tolerate the wicked man, endures hardships, and so on. The church of Smyrna suffers persecution and poverty, like hanging in there. The church of Pergamon remains true to Christ, does not renounce their faith. The church of Thyatira, deeds, love, faith, service, perseverance, doing more than at first. The church in Sardis even got some good things here. Your deeds, your reputation of being alive, That's a good part. Philadelphia, your deeds, you keep Christ's word and does not deny his name, endures patiently. And then comes to the church of Laodicea, the last church. And for those who have been studying prophecy, know that it is the seven churches represents the seven eras of the churches in the world over the past 2,000 years. And the church of Laodicea so happened to be the lukewarm church. It's the church of today. We got it all. We are rich and we have it all. We don't need anything. We think we are doing great. Well, let's rethink that concept. So let's define lukewarmness. A lukewarm Christian is someone who claims to be a believer in Jesus, but does not appear to be committed to Jesus. May occasionally participate in church, rarely reads the Bible, and dabbles in the sinful things of the world. It's kind of really half and half. So what are some of the signs of being a lukewarm Christian? First sign, they live a different life on Sunday than they do the rest of the week. That's pure religion, really. Their friends don't know that they are Christian. Do your friends know that you are a believer? Have you had the courage to let them know? That happened to me in the army. Because you know, the army is not a very Christian place to be. Just saying. On the first day, I was a believer. And on the first day, as I got my, you know, you go in line with everybody else. My group was about 70 or so. You get your thing and you go right by the food thing and they pour your rice and beans in there. And that's what you get. And they shove you to go to the next, whatever. And then you stand in with that thing. And then the sergeant right there said, okay, sit down. And then you sit all together. You sit down and you eat. And I just couldn't. I used to pray before I would eat. And I bowed down and I started praying, you know, silently. But I was praying, oh, Lord, thank you for whatever this is. But I want to thank you, Lord. And then the sergeant, what's happening to you? And that was the moment where, you know, everybody knew, okay, he is. And they called me priest from that moment on. I was the priest. Whatever. It turned out that I became kind of like a priest, whatever. Praise the Lord. Anyway, their friends don't know that they're a Christian. A lukewarm Christian, they would rather be accepted socially than reveal their Christian faith. And in whatever circles you are in, you come certain circles you don't share, because if you do, you will be ostracized, you will be put aside. Or even if you hear them talking about whatever, you know, joke, a dirty joke, you laugh alone. As nothing were, well, do you have to participate, or can you have a different attitude? Can you actually put in a word? Say, you know what, I actually don't agree with this. If everybody believes in evolution and you are the only one who believes in creation, and then you say, well, you know, I actually believe that God created the world. And they might all look at you and say, what? Even Ron Simpson was telling me about some friend of his. He had read this book. It was a good book from this, I don't know what's the name of the guy that just passed away. Stephen Hawkins? He was reading this book and he gave the book and he got upset that this Stephen Hawkins guy all of a sudden admitted the possibility of the existence of God in the book. He got, how in the world a man that has intelligence would actually agree with the fact that there is a God? So we stand for God. We don't have to defend him, because he doesn't need no defense, by the way. But we, somehow, we need to share our position. We need to tell people, hey, this is what I believe and this is the truth. So they would rather accept, be accepted socially than reveal their Christian faith. A lukewarm Christian don't really spend much time in the Bible. Maybe a verse here or there, once a week. They don't pray very much, or only pray to God during difficult times. That's possible. When things really get tough, when the fire start burning, that's when we start praying. When somebody really gets sick, we have already done everything. We went to the doctor 3 times. Nothing happened. And the things are getting worse. Oh, maybe we could still pray. Shouldn't that be the first thing we should do? Pray for before we actually go to the doctor? I'm guilty. We do pray, but, you know, we are pretty quick to go to the doctor for whatever reason. The lukewarm Christian also does not share very much his faith at all. But what does Jesus require? Well, Jesus requires self-denial as well as following him. Following him can be costly because it means to be a disciple of Christ, not the world. Matthew chapter 10, verses 38. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Now that's really important. Are we allowing, or are we saying that Jesus Christ is important? He is in my life. I follow him no matter what. Matthew 16, 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In Luke chapter 14, 27, 28, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? See, when you enter a walk with the Lord, have you counted the cost? Have you counted that you might be ostracized? Have you counted they might not like you? Have you counted that your neighbors will not look at you? Have you counted that your own neighbors or your own friends or your family will laugh at you? Have you counted on all these things? It's counting the cost of following the Messiah. So it's either or. Jesus said, I wish you were cold or hot. But this half and half, I don't know what to do with you. I just about to puke you out. Verse 17, and I'll wrap it up. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. This is from Revelation chapter 3, verses 17. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Have you ever made a diagnosis about your own heart? Verse 18, and I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich. And white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness. And salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock, says the Lord. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Dear Lord Jesus, we are all called to examine our hearts. And if there is a tendency of lukewarmness in our faith walk with you, Lord, we need to rip it out. Would you help us in that? Would you help us, Lord, to be firm, not to sell ourselves cheap? Help us, Lord, to really consider or examine the state of our faith, of our heart, of our relationship with you, with the size of our love for you. Because according to this text, Lord, you said it, Lord, you don't like to be close to a lukewarm Christian. So we don't want to be half and half. We want to be all in. Everyone here wants to be all in. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us. We need your help, Lord Jesus. We need your help. This is you know the world. You have been here too, Lord. You know exactly what's going on. So we pray, Lord Jesus. We pray here for the Markham Missionary Church. We pray for every single individual in this church, Lord. That you would strengthen our faith and we would actually walk close to you. Not in fear, not in anger, not in anxiety. And not, by all means, not in religion. We want to walk in a relationship. Help us to count the cost. Help us to examine, Lord, to see where we have been, what we have done, what has been our attitude out there. We ask you, Lord. And we want to thank you. We want to thank you, Lord, for every single one. Because I know, Lord Jesus, that just about everyone in this very place here today, people have been fighting. We have fighters in our midst, Lord. Big fighters that are fighting for the faith. Fighting to come closer to you. Have been struggling but are fighting. And Lord, you are okay when we are weak. But I know you are not okay when our hearts are divided. So let us not have a divided heart, Lord. But let us fight, Lord. Just engage with us in this incredible fight of faith. Holy Spirit, just come and fill us right now. Let us be filled, Lord, with your presence so that your name will be glorified and that you will find us at work when you come, that you will find us active and engaged and in love with you when you come, because it will pay off. So we thank you, Lord, for every single one here. We bless every single one, Lord. And when there is this fight in the hearts of the people here, that we would become victorious. And you said it in your book of Revelation. It is the victorious one that will inherit the kingdom. It's the one that fights until the end is the one that's going to win the kingdom. We don't want to stop in the middle of the fight or the run. We want to fight all the way. And Lord, we want to thank you because you have promised that you will be with us until the end. And we hang on this promise. We believe in this promise. And we thank you that you have not abandoned us. We want to give you, Lord Jesus, glory and honor this morning. In Jesus' name. And the people of God say, amen, amen. Do we have a song yet to sing? All right.